And now, nationally recognized financial experts Scott Hansen and Pat McClain of Hansen McClain Advisors. It's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hansen McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
I'm Pat McClain. Thanks for joining this show.
That's right. Both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. Basically, we are practicing financial advisors, meaning that we meet with people like yourself throughout the week. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air.
So, and our advisors on the West Coast, including, I guess we would include Denver on the West Coast. Does Denver think they're on the West Coast?
They're West. Oh, yeah. They're in the West. Not the coast.
The West.
They're in the West.
Not the West Coast, but the West. Meet with clients.
Clearly, Denver, Colorado's the West.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
The Cowboys and all that stuff.
But
tough guys.
Our advisors on the West portion of the United States meet with clients just like yourself, as do we, practicing advisors.
Yeah, well, actually, we have clients all over the country that we meet virtually with through video, Skype, and all that other stuff.
Our advice anywhere.
Stuff works.
But it works perfectly, and our clients enjoy it.
They do.
That's the most important thing.
Yes.
It makes it convenient, just using modern technology to enhance the financial guidance experience.
That's right.
So, but we're here each and every week. If we're new to you, thank you for joining us. We have had a radio show in Northern California for over 20 years, and we are expanding into Los Angeles, San Diego, and Denver. So thank you for joining Hansen McClain.
That's right. I think we've been on there, well, it'll be 4 months now. What, the end of April? It's been 4 months we've been in those other regions, and into the Bay Area for more than a year. Of course, out of KPK Sacramento for more than 20
and
years.
Thank you for the warm welcome. We are receiving emails and phone calls. We appreciate it.
Flowers, candies, no more, please.
No flowers, no candies. Didn't happen.
Anyway, we got a great program lined up. Of course, we're going to take your calls, talk some about things that are going on in the financial markets. But if you'd like to join the program, if you got a question for us regarding something in your financial life, maybe you're looking at how to structure things for the best way to for inheritance, to how's the best thing to leave some money behind? Maybe you've got more assets than you're going to be spending your lifetime, trying to figure out what's the best planning thing there. Perhaps you're looking at retirement, trying to figure out, do you have enough money saved and how should you think about transitioning through this? Or maybe you're just looking at the best way to save for retirement. Maybe
or college funding. We had a situation this last week where brand new grandfather or grandmother wanting to put some money aside for their grandson, Liam. Liam.
And they're supposed to be anonymous here.
I didn't use the... Liam doesn't know his name yet. He's 2 months old. He might recognize it. I don't know. But...
what if Liam's parents heard this?
They would be proud.
And then they realize, wait a minute.
They would be proud.
The grandparents...
They would be proud.
...are talking to a financial advisor
about funding money. They would be proud.
And then they think, now I've made it. I don't have to worry about saving for the kid's education because grandpa's going to take care of it because I heard it on the radio.
Well,
that could have just happened right there.
Fortunately, I know grandpa and the children.
All right. Anyway.
Good family.
So if you want to join the program...
How could they not be a good family with a name in a child, Liam?
I don't know.
Just telling
is that
you.
Supposed to be a good family
warrior,
name?
Warrior, Irish, warrior.
Is that an Irish name?
Oh, it's certainly Scottish, Irish,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, no. All right.
That origin.
Anyway, if you'd like to join the show.
And I exclusively work with Irish clients. That's
exclusively.
Pat McClain.
Patrick, what's your middle name?
Carl, which is German.
What happened there?
I'm part German.
Who's German in your
the
family?
The part that works hard.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Anyway, and I guess it's no offense to the Irish considering you're Irish.
Well, they're going to take it any way they want.
All right, fair enough. Anyway, if you want to join the program, if you got a question for us, like get on the air, have us answer your question, we would love to take your call. To join the program, it's 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. So that will get you on the air to Hansen McClain. I would love to take your call, answer your question, and all those sort of things. So anyway, it's a good, it's funny how life goes through different seasons and chapters. Here it is. My daughter just finished up her last week of finals, coming back home for the summer.
Oh,
so we'll
that's
see how
nice.
That goes.
See how that goes. It's nice.
Yeah,
it's nice. Mostly. It starts nice.
It starts. It's an adjustment. And for those that have, when their kids grow, they go to college,
and then they come back.
And when they come back, the parents don't think anything's really changed, but the kids think clearly everything's changed. Why do you care what time I'm going to be home? What business is that of yours?
But it's a season in life, much like retirement's a season in life, right? Or lack thereof.
You know, it's interesting. So at Hanson McLean, we've been spending quite a bit of time talking with our clients about retirement issues beyond financial. And part of it is our own intellectual curiosity, hearing how people spend their lives.
Well, part of it's just interacting with 4,000 plus families and realizing that money is one of the components.
Well, money, finances, money is a tool to help accomplish other things in life. Money in and of itself is, well, maybe it makes you feel good. Maybe you can have some feelings about it, but in and of itself, it's not going to provide any value. It's what it can do for you. It's when you turn it into something else, goods or services or investments.
So it's
future goods.
Or psychologically security or...
So it's interesting because a lot of people go into this retirement. They plan for retirement. Our whole society talks about retirement, planning for retirement. Our society sells retirement as this kind of wonderful time of leisure. Most successful retirees we know have some leisure, but that's not their primary focus. They have lots of other focuses in life. So we've been spending some time with our clients just talking about the transition, what the transition was like for them. I had talked with a client this last week. 2 weeks ago, and they'd been retired about 8 years. We'd been working together. Interesting. We've been working together for more than 20 years. They said, when we first met you, Scott, it was more than 20 years ago.
About
8 years ago. It was hard to believe it had already been 8 years since they retired. And we're talking about, you know, one of the things, they were just kind of in for basic review, and they did a great job saving plenty of assets. And, you know, I was talking about, how long do you plan on staying in your home, and what changes might be coming up? Recent grandparents, so... one of them is spending a lot of time, drives 100 and some odd miles to go stay with one of their children for a few days, like Tuesday through Thursday,
which
helping
means...
watch the kids, but having a ball doing it. And I said, what was the most surprising thing to you about retirement? You worked for the same company for 30 years or whatever. I asked her, what was the most surprising thing to you about your retirement? And she said, you know what the most surprising thing? She says, I was concerned, I was worried that I was going to have a tough time figuring out my meaning and purpose in life. This is what she says to me. She says, I was always a kind of a hard driver at work. I was a manager. I had a gazillion things going on. And I question how I would feel about myself once most of those things were gone.
It's pretty insightful.
And she says, to my surprise, I didn't skip a beat at all. She says, I went from working like 60 hours a week to being retired and loving every minute of it.
And she attributed that to just a mindset that she was going to concentrate on being the best retiree ever, or that she was involved in nonprofits?
I don't know what she contributed to.
Because been doing this almost 25 years. More than 25 years. I have recommended that some of my clients returned to work, and it didn't have anything to do
with
the money.
These are Hanson McLean clients?
Correct.
People that came to Hanson McLean for your financial guidance and investment management.
And
you told them to go back to work.
I thought it would be healthy for them to return to some sort of either nonprofit work or work, but something that was going to fill the day. Because in talking with them, and I'm not obviously not a psychologist, but it just as a friend said, when I'd say, how's retirement? And they'd say, it's really not fun. I mean, if you're not retired, you think, what's wrong with this guy? You know, you're not going in and work every day and struggling. But the reality was, if that was an important part of someone's life and they were great fulfillment from that and a large part of their social circle, and you remove that from someone's life, then it's hard to replicate without going back and doing some similar function, either at a nonprofit or at a job. And I can think now, in every case that I recommended it, the clients went back and kind of viewed a new retirement. So they worked for 3 or 4 or 5 years and slowly moved into a retirement where they didn't work at all.
Well, like part of the keypad is being in a position where that paycheck is an option.
That's what it was.
Not
for
a requirement.
These That's what it was for these.
So
clients.
When you're at a point in life when you don't need the money, it gives you some freedom. I mean, one of the things about financial advisors, we like to talk about getting to that point in life where you've got that financial freedom, where that paycheck is an option now.
Yeah, and you can decide whether you want to work or not.
Yes, I was talking with someone a couple weeks ago. He retired like 5 years ago. He's back working full time. Actually, got divorced, which is not that uncommon, unfortunately, at when people retire. We're talking. I said, "Are you enjoying work right now?" He says, "Actually," he says, "Yeah, but I'm working more than I would like to be working. I'm working 4 days. I'd like to be working less." And I said, "What would be the ideal?" And he said, "I think 2 days of work of a week work would be perfect for me." And I said, "Well, what about just volunteering?" He says, "There's a certain kind of dynamic that happens in the marketplace that does not happen in volunteering,
which is you have to perform."
Maybe that's part of it. Yeah. As opposed
yeah,
to,
you're yeah. being judged. You're being judged. Your input is actually being judged.
And well, people are relying upon you.
Pretty critically.
Yeah. Anyway, it was just an
So one of the questions that we've been asking clients when they come in.
At Hanson McLean.
At yeah. Hanson McLean is, if this was your first day of retirement, what would it look like? If you were retired for 2 months, what would it look like? If you were retired for 6 months, what would it look like? And it really, you know, once you figure out the money issue, then it still likes to get down, it gets down to the, you know, where the rubber meets the road, which is what do I want this to look like? What's my life? If you've got enough money that you don't have to work and you get to make that choice, would you work or what type of work? Or would it just be a life of leisure? And most clients, most of our clients, the experience is they don't, there's a combination of all those things.
It's usually a combination. And it's obviously it's a nice place to be where work can be an option. And if you don't want to work, great. If you don't want to work, great.
Yeah.
We've got people when they're well into their 70s that are still working, not because they have to. But anyway, we are up against the clock. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start taking some calls. 1-888-2-HANSON to join the number. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766. Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments. All on moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
All right, you're back with Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Yeah.
Can you bring that music down and get us over to the singer-songwriter era
What's
that
wrong
I so love?
AC/DC?
Ah, come on. Not a metalhead. I just never
is
was.
That metal? AC/DC?
It is in my world. I'm like a singer-songwriter.
Huh?
Carly Simon, James Taylor, a little bit.
Oh, come on.
Maybe R.E.M.
I'm going to a Jimmy Buffett concert in the fall.
I
was in a car with Pat years ago. I might have told the story before. Forgive me. Well, we're going to go back to the phones. This is a financial program. Hanson McLean.
Thanks
I was
for
in a car
us.
With Pat years ago. This is a long time ago. When he had a, remember the CD disc changers?
And he had like
when he had a nice car stereo. He had the disc changer. He had a, so we're in the car and there's Jimmy Buffett playing. Not a huge Jimmy Buffett fan, to be honest with you. I probably prefer AC/DC. But anyway, it's Jimmy Buffett. And I said, Pat, do you have anything else? And so I took it upon myself to start pushing the button. So I changed the next CD. Jimmy Buffett. Push for the next CD. Jimmy Buffett. Pat had 11 Jimmy Buffett CDs.
There
in
was
CD changer.
I don't think it was quite 11, but he had a four part.
Nothing.
He had a double album. It was called Bars, Beaches, Boats.
It's not,
something
fine.
Else.
That's fine.
Bars, Beaches,
like, sorry
boats.
I brought it up. I apologize to the listeners that brought you.
I don't
the
remember
Jimmy
what the
fourth
Unless
you're a big
was.
Jimmy Buffett fan, and then you're probably going to tune us
My
out.
My wife
and
asked
put
if
on
I wanted
Buffett
to go to the Jimmy Buffett concert, and I've been to four, maybe. They're pretty good.
I'm not thinking it's going to be a lot of excitement and action.
In my youth, I would do that sort of thing. All right, we're going to go to the phones.
I've taken my kids when they're teenagers to like rock concerts.
888-2-HANSEN.
Old man.
888-242-6766. Did you bring them to a Madonna concert?
Madonna? That's my age. They don't go to Madonna. You think my daughter would go to Madonna concert? My son would go to Madonna?
888-242-6766.
Maybe Taylor Swift.
888-242-6766.
I wouldn't bring
like
my kid to
a
Madonna concert.
Okay.
That's like kind of
Okay, we're going to go to the calls. Let's talk to Al. Al, thanks for joining Hanson McClain.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, Al. Good, Al. What can we do for you?
I'm not going to get into that concert debate. There's no yield there.
Would you take your kid, as a young kid, to a Madonna concert? I would not. That's just me. Anyway.
I'm a child of the 60s. You can draw your own conclusions.
There we go.
All right, I have a retirement riddle for you guys, which I think will be of general interest to many of your listeners. Neither my wife nor I have ever had a job that came with a pension. And growing up poor, I was always a saver. So over the years that I've been working, when IRAs got invented and 401ks and 403bs and KEOs and all that stuff,
okay,
I didn't understand them, but I always said, okay, I'm just going to invest as much as I can. I did that. And a few years ago, I heard about these things called Roth individual retirement accounts, and I found out it was possible to convert an old IRA into a Roth IRA, which would mean paying tax on the amount. But then the Roth IRA could continue to grow, and I figured, well, I've got 20 years left, so it'll grow and it'll pay for that tax and more. And so I sort of adopted that strategy, and every year for about the last 5 years, I've converted some IRA money into Roth IRA accounts.
All right.
So at this time, I'm counting my blessings because my wife and I have the full alphabet soup of retirement assets. We each have a regular IRA, a Roth IRA. She has a 403B. I have a 401K. I even have money in a KEO, which is now called a qualified retirement plan.
Okay.
She's 70 and I'm 62.
Okay.
So my two strategic questions to you guys is, how should we draw those retirement assets down? Is there some sequence or we should exhaust some first? Mm-hmm. For the others, and what happens to those assets when they ultimately get inherited by kids and grandkids? What's the strategy there?
Okay, so let me ask a couple questions to begin with. You're self-employed?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been for about 10 years.
And are you still making contributions to your KEO?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And do you have much in savings or assets outside of these retirement plans?
Yes, we do. So that's why I'm even bringing up the inheritance issue.
So
there will be some for them to inherit.
If we exclude your primary residence for a moment, and you look at your other assets, these retirement assets, what percentage of would that comprise of your overall assets? In other words,
liquid net worth.
And outside real estate or whatever.
In rentals or commercial property or anything.
I would
like
say
that.
Half.
Okay, so you got about
less than half.
Less than half, maybe. And then what percentage of your retirement assets, the IRAs, 403B, Roth, what percentage is in Roth?
Oh, I would say a quarter.
Okay.
A quarter of the half.
Yep. So you got approximately 12.5% in Roth, and you got 50% in liquid or quasi-liquid, but outside of a retirement plan.
And what's your primary question to ask is, how would you withdraw these assets?
And also, should we have a consideration about, assuming we don't outlive our assets, what is best for the kids to inherit?
Got it. You know,
so I empty out the IRA and let them inherit the
family? You will. So I can
That's
almost
a great question.
I can almost guarantee you will die with assets because everybody does. Unless you,
okay.
I mean, you'll have something when
most
you die,
most people
right?
do.
Well, I shouldn't say everybody. Let me take, at Hanson McClain, our experience, people that have been savers that have assets, they will die before spending
so
it all. If you could tell us the day you're going to die, we can get a plan backwards so your last check bounces, but that's probably not real.
So how many beneficiaries are there?
My wife has figured it out that somehow we're going to die on the same afternoon. I'm not quite sure how she's going to pull that off.
Right.
But for financial planning,
I wouldn't be spending. I personally wouldn't be spending too much time alone with her. How many beneficiaries are there at the estate?
There's three adult children who don't need any money. And there's five grandchildren, four teenagers, one is seven.
Okay, so here's the thing to look at. What determines whether you should spend the Roth now or the taxable IRAs now is kind of dependent upon what the tax bracket of the beneficiaries is in as compared to yourself.
And the tax bracket you're in.
Oh. As compared to yourself. So if they're in a higher tax bracket than you are, then you want them to inherit the Roths. If they're in a lower tax bracket than you are, then you want them to inherit the taxable IRAs.
Which, of course, that's a very difficult question to answer because we're projecting years out into the future.
Yes. Well, let me throw one more wrench in there. So I've read there's been some talk about Congress trying to do away with this whole stretch IRA concept. So right now, if you were to, let's say you were both passed away today, and let's say you had it, just to, let's make it easy, you had it divided amongst your three kids, each retirement account. Each retirement account could be split three ways, and so each child could have a beneficiary IRA and a beneficiary Roth IRA. And then they could choose how they want to spend those dollars. They would all have to take some sort of minimum distribution based upon their own life expectancy. That is under current rules. But if I were a betting man, I would bet that at some time in the future, probably 10 years or less, we'll see the stretch IRA concept where you can stretch that life expectancy to be done away with. And the reason I say that is there's a lot of money that's sitting in there untaxed, and it's a political, I mean, there's no one's, the amount of people that would argue against that is small.
Yeah, and it's not a vocal,
No one's going to care about
it. So here's what, if you were sitting in our office, we would say, okay, Al, what does your retirement look like? What sort of, I assume you have your house paid for, is that correct?
No, actually, we refinanced the house in California to buy a retirement home in Texas last year.
Oh, so you're moving to Texas when you retire?
Are you moving to Texas?
At the moment, it's kind of half and half.
Okay.
Well, and yeah. I would not convert anymore to a Roth.
At all.
Okay.
Because
okay.
You're paying tax in California, and Texas will not have any state income tax.
Right.
So we'll have higher property tax.
Once we've moved to Texas, though, you would say go ahead and convert.
We might.
Depending on your tax bracket.
Yeah. But one of the things I would be looking at now is if you really think there's going to be ample assets left at your death, and you and your spouse on that afternoon that, oh, so.
yeah.
That
yeah,
afternoon
exactly.
When you however she has it planned.
Maybe it'd be a real passionate moment.
Yeah. You might want to consider starting to fund 529 plans for the grandchildren to shrink the estate and to do what you want to do. And that is all dependent on the children as well, your children, right? But I wouldn't do anything in terms of converting any money from the IRA to the Roth IRA.
Not if you're planning on going to Texas.
No.
Okay.
I mean, you're in a great,
that's because of the state income tax hit.
Absolutely.
And it's significant. Okay. How much are you putting in your KEO every year, just out of curiosity?
Oh, $10,000 about.
Yeah. So Scott, correct me if I'm wrong. Can't he use a self-directed 401k and bring the cost down to significantly less expensive than the
KEO? You have employees?
No.
Are you paying to have your, what's the tax?
Are you paying for the administration for the KEO?
Oh, very little because it's just in a mutual fund account at Schwab.
Okay. All right. Okay. You're good.
Sometimes I see them really.
Yeah. They get a little bit fat.
Are you filing a 5500 tax form on that?
Yeah. My tax guy, I guess, does that.
I would double check.
Okay.
Only because I see some. Well, sometimes I see people.
I would check.
I wouldn't say you're in trouble. You got to figure a way to fix it.
But we see it often.
I see it. It's usually something like this. Someone's self-employed. Where they set up a KEO plan through a mutual fund company or through their bank, and then what happens is it doesn't the tax filing never actually happens with that. There's some special when you have a KEO plan as opposed to a solo K. There's additional compliance that must be taken care of.
Where a solo K may actually achieve the objective. Yeah.
And then as far as once you go to retire. You really got to look at it on an annual basis and look at it and say, all right, what's going to make the most sense this year taking the distribution?
And some years it might be IRA and some might be Roth or a combination of the two.
We're taking a quick break. 1-888-2 Hanson's our number. This is Hanson McLean.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2 Hanson. That's 1-888-2 Hanson. 1-888-242-6766. Back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Two guys, two brains, and one head of hair.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
Yes, coming back with us. Hey, and if you want to join us, you've got a question for us like Al did, and something in your mind regarding your finances, love to take your call. 1-888-2-HANSON. And so I know sometimes people think, well, your calls are always busy. Look, what sometimes if we can't get you in right now, we'll figure a time when it would make sense. So to join us, it's 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Yeah, so if you call now and it's busy, call back in a couple of minutes.
1-888-242-6766 is the how to get that numerically.
Yeah. So. And actually, if you call the show, I'm going to give you a copy of Scott's new book, The Personal Decision Point, 7 Steps to Your Idea.
Yeah, that's nice of you, Pat.
I know. It's your book. I know. But I'll be giving them away.
There we go.
I got a big stack of them.
It's been working that like that since we started together.
Scott's got a new book out. It's called Personal Decision Point.
In all fairness, it's got my name. It's got your fingerprints all over it.
Pat. It does have my,
yes.
Literally, it's got that glossy cover on it that shows fingerprints. Now, so it's called Personal Decision Point, 7 Steps to Your Ideal Retirement Transition. And if you're a caller on the show, which means you're on the air, not that if you just called the show, but if you're a caller on the air, you will get you a copy of Scott's book. But I helped in the editing of it, but I had not seen the final version until last week. And I've got it sitting next to my bed, and I've actually enjoyed it. Although I'm very aware of the process of the 7 personal decision points, but congratulations. And, read your Yelp reviews, not Yelp reviews, Amazon reviews. I only recognized one of the names of the Yelp reviews, which I can only assume
Amazon reviews
was a friend of, Amazon reviews.
Anyway.
So,
if you like it, give us a good review on Amazon as well. Yeah, you can get the book. You can get it at Amazon. But if you go, there's a tremendous discount at moneymatters.com. I think it's $5 for the book if you want to get our code. It just what you got to do is go to our website, moneymatters.com/book. All right? moneymatters.com/book. And we'll get you a code for 75% off the purchase price. So it'll cost you $5 instead of $19.95.
Nice.
And you just put the code, go to Amazon, enter the code, and next thing
and
you
this
know.
Is Scott's second book on personal finance. The first one was actually called Money Matters, but most people don't know this about Scott, but he's frequently on CNBC, oftentimes on Fox, writes an art column for Kiplinger's.
Yes,
and has been on the Barron's 100 list of largest registered investment advisors.
Well, you have as well.
No, but I'm not talking about me right now. I'm talking about you.
Oh, keep going.
On Kiplinger's. I don't write for Kiplinger's. I'm a terrible writer. You're an excellent writer. So you'll enjoy his book.
So real quick story. I'm going to call Pat on something. So I wrote a weekly column for the Sacramento Bee for 9 years. Ended up getting syndicated by Scripps Howard. For whatever reason, the Bee decided they wanted to go in a different direction. But 9 years I wrote that column. And when I got the column originally, we were having a meeting with someone at the Sacramento Bee, and there used to be someone else writing a weekly column in that space. And Pat said, you know, Scott, I think we should go and pitch them on you writing that column. And I said, no, I don't want a weekly column. He said, no, you'd be great. And I said, no, Pat. I said, there's no way I want the responsibility of a weekly column in the newspaper. So we're in the meeting, this conference room with these big shots for the Sacramento Bee. And the next thing Pat says, well, you know, Scott Hanson would do an excellent job writing in this column here because the person who's writing there, his information's wrong, blah, 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 blah. Next time we walk out of there, Pat just committed me to writing a weekly column.
He wrote it for 9 years and excellent. I enjoyed it every week.
You did. Okay. Well, good.
It led to your books and your writing for Kiplinger's, and we're also very proud of you, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you're doing the work.
Yeah, you know, I wrote an article for CNBC.com a couple weeks ago now on is retirement dead? And I was just kind of throwing out there to see what it was interesting the kind of response I get so much so that another reporter followed up wanted to
right. What were the comments on it? Could you go to our website, moneymatters.com, and actually see the article?
I don't know. But you can go, sure.
Yeah. All right. We'll make sure that happens. Yeah, that? Moneymatters.com. Can someone in the control booth make a notice to make sure that we get that done?
Before the day's
so
out.
What were the comments on the article? You called it Retirement's Dead?
They changed it. You know, sometimes the editors have the control over the time. Anyway, it's just something on the changing face of retirement. And just a lot of people we talked. And I didn't mean that you should just quit, that you should plan on working until the day you drop dead. But the concept of, we're going to work for 30 years and then I'm just going to go sit on the back of a cruise ship forever. Leisure's great in season, but it's not.
Yeah, not all the time.
When you have no responsibilities or not feeling needed.
Yeah.
Most of us need.
And vacations, quite frankly, are hard sometimes.
Well, that's because you got to bring yourself with them.
I know. I'm there every vacation.
Yeah. If I could go without myself with somebody else, it would be even better.
All right. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to talk to Tara. Tara, thanks for joining Handsome McLean.
Hi.
Hi, Tara.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Quick question. So recently, my employer dropped our 401k program due to the fact that only a few of us were actually participating.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm wondering what I should do to continue investing in my retirement future.
I've been an... I've written a number of times about the problem with the fact that our retirement savings is coupled with our employer, right? So if your 401k, you're allowed to contribute. What's the limit this year, Pat? Do you remember the limits?
It's 20.
Six. We should know.
I'm over. Is it?
You're thinking about yourself.
It's 17,500.
Yeah. So you should be allowed to save that whether your employer offers a 401k or not, but you can't. It's what's ridiculous. So you don't have a 401k anymore. How much were you putting in your 401k?
I was maxing it out. So I was putting, 20%, I believe.
What did that mean?
And how much was that dollar amount?
Oh, goodness. I'd have to look at my statement.
And how,
I was roughly, go ahead.
How old are you?
I am 42.
Okay.
So give us a ballpark, roughly.
Approximate dollar amount.
I think I was putting, I'm sorry, I'm totally drawing a blank right now.
8,000? You're putting.
At least 8,000.
So how much did you,
a little more.
Approximately how much money do you make?
I make 75 a year.
Okay, so you're putting about, let's call it.
15 grand. Which is.
Say that again?
About 15,000.
Yeah, which is below the limit. Okay. But for your age, there's a maximum up to age 50, and then there's another number
are you
after
married?
Age 50.
I am.
Okay, and does your spouse contribute to a company savings plan?
He just changed jobs, and so he will as soon as he becomes eligible after, I think it's like 6 months.
Was he contributing before?
Yes, he was.
Okay. So here's the challenge. The maximum you're going to be able to contribute is $5,500 a year to an IRA.
Okay.
How many employees were at this employer?
We have seasonal employees, mm-hmm. and so full-time there's less than 10 of us. And when the employers themselves, they got to an age where they were...
Here's what I would do. If I were in your situation or you're my younger sister, I would recommend this. So you were saving $15,000 a year before. I'd say contribute $5,500 a year into... a IRA.
And do the same for your husband.
Well, you won't get a tax deduction for him. I would contribute to a Roth IRA for your husband, assuming your income is below $180,000, somewhere right in there. And then that's $5,000, your $5,500 into your IRA, $5,500 into his Roth IRA. There's $11,000. The other $4,000, I would just buy a total stock market index fund. I'd get a low-cost mutual fund. I wouldn't do an ETF because you want to make ongoing contributions. It's easier to
do. Make it tax efficient. Have the dollars come right out of your checking account on a monthly basis, just like they went into your 401k on a monthly basis. And you could set it up.
Set it up like that.
Yep. So it gets sucked out of your paycheck probably like
automatically.
You have other bills.
And the only way it really works is if you actually do it that way, because most people have competing interests for their money, right? Do you have children?
Yes.
That is a competing interest for your money.
She hesitated.
Very much so.
Right. So you get it. So if it comes out of the checking account, when you say to the kids, hey, you can't, no one needs a pair of Nikes that cost $131.
Yeah.
You can actually mean it.
That's what was so nice about the 401k program is that I never saw it. It just came out, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, it stopped and went, oh, no.
Yeah. And actually, so, you live in the state of California?
I do.
There's proposed legislation right now to create a state savings
program.
But it won't.
I guarantee it's not going to be 17.5.
It won't be
the same limits.
It won't be that. It won't be that.
Okay.
So numbers, it would be up to 5 to 10% of your income. But for right now, I love Scott's advice, Roth IRA for your husband, IRA for you, and put the difference into a
total stock
market index.
Yep.
Low cost, set it up on a monthly basis.
Set it all up on a monthly basis.
Okay.
If you don't, it's going to get pushed back and pushed back, and then you're like, oh, no, it's been a year from now. And
yeah.
Yeah. This isn't that bad.
I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, no.
This isn't great, but it's not that bad.
Okay.
All right. You're obviously very responsible for contributing as much as you have at 42.
Yeah, 42 with kids at home? Yeah. Very good. So, excellent.
Well, thanks. You'd be my proud parents of taught me well.
All right. Well, it takes discipline, too. All
right, so thanks for appreciate calling,
the Terry. Call. Yeah, it's not always what's done. But,
It takes discipline.
And I would venture to say that we will see more plans, 401k plans, being discontinued just because of
the fiduciary rule.
Yeah, the fiduciary rule. And it's just a lot of requirement for small businesses, the compliance headache that the government has placed upon them. In any case, we're taking a quick break. To join the program, it's 1-888-2-HANSEN. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766. Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
That's right. We have no agenda. Glad you are joining us here on this fantastic financial program, Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And
if you go
contact to our number to be part of the program, to join us. We still have time for calls. Love to take some calls. And we will here in a moment. But
and if you call the show and you're on the air, I will give you a copy of Scott's book, Personal Decision Points, 7 Steps to an Ideal
Pat's giving away my stuff.
Transition. It is a lot of...
The only books you can give away are the books that I wrote, not like my personal collection of books.
Yeah,
like I'm giving away Scott's.
Oh, yeah, your old book.
Scott, it's the...
This is our Radio Tradio.
Huh?
By Radio Tradio, we're selling
Ronald Reagan
stuff.
Letters.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan letters.
Bill Clinton memoir.
So, Personal Decision Points. If you call and get on the show, if you just call and say, hey, give me a copy of the free book, we're going to say no. But if you call and say,
but
hey,
wait, they can get the book for $5.
But they can get it for $5.
Moneymatters.com/book. You can get my book for $5.
Moneymatters.com.
Where else are you going to get such a good deal?
/book, $5. You get it Goodwill, 3 years, $5.
You get it Goodwill for 80 cents
in 3 years.
wait a week.
You just got to be patient.
I think my old used one... It was selling for a penny. No one's actually going to ship a book for a penny, but yeah. I don't know how that really works. Anyway, if you want to be part of the program, you got a question for us. 888-2-HANSON is the contact number here to join the program. That's 888-2-HANSON. And numerically, if you'd like to dial numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766 to get you on the program. I had saw an article recently, which... interesting. So it's interesting here on the West Coast looking at these technology firms that, it's absolutely amazing, really, when you think about Silicon Valley. And then even down in Southern California, the area of Los Angeles that is kind of Silicon South, with the venture capital. And, of course, even down San Diego where they've got all these different
you see pockets in Boston and North Carolina.
And then Denver's got a lot of them. But there's been a number of companies that have raised money privately with the plans of going public one day. Okay, that's how a lot of these startups work. Raise plans privately. And the plan is to go public, but the valuations of these companies had increased in value so that they were valued at greater than $1 billion.
They call them unicorns.
They call them unicorns because there used to be so few. It was like you would never see a unicorn. But here now we're starting to see. But what happened? So the things when privately traded companies, what's a privately traded company worth?
It's hard to tell.
At least if something's traded on the market, we know what it's worth today. We know what Apple's worth. At least we know what the last trade someone's willing to pay.
Pretty good idea of what it's worth.
Yeah, because we know can see what kind of transactions. Privately held companies, much more difficult. But mutual fund companies, there's some mutual fund companies that have invested in some of these privately held companies. Well, mutual funds are publicly held, and they need to report a value on a daily basis.
So they have to give a best estimate of what the holdings are in that mutual fund.
And on a quarterly basis, they have to come out publicly and say, of our privately held companies, this is what our current valuation is on these.
And it could be that a few shares have changed hands of a non-traded or a private company, or it could be that there's been a new round of venture capital funding that has set a price. But sometimes they really just say, oh, we think based upon the environment, this is what it's worth.
So T. Rowe Price, and we're not saying good or bad about any of these companies.
And Scott, we should point out that buying privately traded companies and mutual funds like this was the domain of hedge funds and venture capital firms just 10 years ago. You very rarely saw privately traded, non-priced
assets. No, you'd wait until there was an IPO, and then oftentimes mutual funds would be the first ones to purchase the IPO. They'd be right on this.
You very rarely saw this, and it's pretty common now to see them in the more aggressive mutual funds.
So here's what's interesting. With T. Rowe Price, they came out at the end of the quarter. They had marked down the majority of their privately held companies.
Yes. Substantially in some cases.
And so what typically happens, here's what's interesting. Usually when a company's private, the value as they continue to grow is you would think that...
You hope it's going up.
It would continue to go up. And then when it goes public, it goes up quite a bit. That's what the kind of the plan is. But what's happening, we're seeing these getting repriced. And what we're starting to see now is that some of these startups that are privately held, even the ones that have raised hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, are having trouble with keeping the employees because their employees are saying, wait a minute, I had these stock options at this price. You're already going backwards. It's just an interesting thing to be watching
and
right
part
now.
Of the reason that these valuations are so high is because of the capital that's coming out of the mutual funds and helping to set prices this high.
Well, it was. It's much more difficult today for a company to raise capital than it was a year ago.
Or 6 months ago.
Substantially.
Or even 6 months ago.
Or even 6 months ago. But today, substantially different than a year ago. Anyway, we better take calls here. 1-888-2-HANSEN to join the program here at Hanson McLean. And let's go talk with Daryl. Daryl, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hanson McLean, how you doing, boys?
Excellent. How are you doing, sir?
Real good. Hey, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Okay, I'm eligible to retire, mm-hmm. but I have to retire in 2 years.
Why do you have to retire?
What? I'm part of a government program. I have to retire.
Okay.
Okay, so my annuity is going to give me $5,000 a month. That's after federal tax and my health care is paid.
All righty.
And I have about $600,000 in a TSP.
Okay, thrift savings plan for the rest of the listeners.
Yep, or 401k, whatever you want to call it. What I want to, when I leave, I have 1 year to move it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What I want to do somehow is I'd like to keep my annuity going, which I'll always get, but then somehow I'd like to maybe live off the interest, not spend it down so much, supplement my annuity because I have to move it. What do I do?
Oh, wait. So let me ask a couple questions. How old are you now?
53.
So you'll be 55 when you retire. And are you a federal employee?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not aware that you have to move your thrift savings plan in any time period at all. I don't know. Where are you getting that information?
Well, I always thought I had 1 year to move.
No.
I don't want to leave it. Leaving it there, it's okay now while I'm a federal employee because I'm contributing. But when I'm done, There's got to be a better way to do that money.
Daryl?
Maybe not.
So here's this is a great question. It's pretty specific to Daryl, but it's an example of how convoluted these rules are with different plans. The problem with the Thrift Savings Plan is that there are very limited choices, very, very limited choices. The good thing about it is there's relatively low cost.
Very low cost.
Very low cost. But the good thing that here's something that I would consider if you were sitting in my office and you were retired today. If you're over age 55 in the year in which you separated from service, there is no penalty taking money out of a 401k, 403b, or thrift savings plan as long as you're 55 or older in the year in which you separate from service.
Right.
So what I would do is I'd say, well, Daryl, how much income? So if we've got $600,000, let's say we're going to take a 4% distribution or $24,000 a year, $2,000 a month. And we say, okay, Daryl, let's take $2,000 a month to help supplement that income. I would figure out you've got 4.5 years at $24,000 a year.
Before you're 59 and a half.
Before you're 59 and a half. I'd leave $120,000 in that thrift savings plan. And I would do that distribution out of there. I'd take the remaining $480,000 and I'd move it to an IRA and I would invest it. Now, you know, what's the upside? The upside is we're going to get larger investment selections and we're going to get more choices. What's the downside? The money in the IRA is going to be more expensive to manage than it is in the thrift savings plan. What's the upside? The upside is if you use a firm like our own, you're going to get professional management as well as knowledge and experience of navigating this situation that you just laid up to us.
And I'm going
to
throw one more thing out, Daryl. So there's this possibility that you will have some other employment in your future, right?
Which is why you don't...
It's possible, but I would like to be where I don't...
I understand. So if you figure, could an extra $2,000 a month meet the needs, your needs?
Easily.
Okay.
Easily.
All right. So I would think, all right, so if you had $600,000, let's say we used a 4% ballpark estimate, that's roughly $2,000 a month. So that, so you're in a place financially where you could set it up so that you have $2,000 a month come in to help supplement the rest of your thing. You're financially secure. But I also want to have the flexibility that what if a couple of years from now some opportunity presents itself where you can earn some money, do something engaging, work for a period of time. Well, maybe you would have that year where you wouldn't take that.
And because it's coming out of the thrift savings plan, you can stop that at any time you want.
There's other ways called a series of substantially equal periodic payments.
We could do
it. I would not recommend that.
Yeah, we could do it under a 72T. I would do it under a 72T if you were under age 55, but you'll be over age 55 when you retire. So it's easy. Yeah. It's easy for us because we know the rules.
Yeah, so congrats.
Appreciate
on your
time. Before we go, if you go to our website, moneymatters.com/book, you will get a big discount to the personal decision point, 7 steps
and
to your ideal
retirement. And I think we owe Daryl a book, too.
And we do owe Daryl a book.
Hopefully,
Daryl, it's in the mail. Thank you for joining us. You can reach us at moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com.
Yeah, we're here every weekend on the same very radio program. You could also get our podcast. If you go to iTunes, search Hanson McClain. You'll be able to get our podcast right there and make sure you give us a nice, good rating on Hanson McClain as well. Anyway, we're out of time. This has been Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Have a great rest of the weekend.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.